How do you launch and run a business while attending a demanding MBA program? How can the Ross School of Business help you to pursue your entrepreneurial dreams? Let's find out. Welcome to the 295th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, except it's a podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Today's podcast sponsor is Accepted's guide, Navigate the MBA Application Maze, 9 Expert Tips to Getting Accepted. Whether you're applying now for a 2019 matriculation or planning ahead for a 2020 matriculation, this free download can help you to get accepted. It covers the how, what, when, and where of applying. We'll link to it from our show notes at www.accepted.com/295. We have 2 guests today and a lot of ground to cover, so I'm going to give them very brief intros and more time for them to tell their stories. I want to welcome Dale Drewis and Dhruv Dhawan, both members of the Michigan Ross Class of 2019, and both are the co-founders of B-School Travel, which we'll also learn about in just a couple of minutes. Dale earned his Bachelor's in Mechanical Engineering from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 2012, and then worked for Caterpillar for 5 years before coming to Ann Arbor. Dhruv Dhawan graduated from UC Irvine with a BBA and then headed into public accounting for a couple of years, followed by a 3-year stint as director of marketing and operations for a health supplements company, which is actually a family business, until he too arrived in beautiful Ann Arbor in 2017. With that as background, let's hear about their MBA experience at Ross and the founding of B-School Travel. Dale and Dhruv, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thanks for having us, Linda.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, what you like to do for fun? And Dhruv, why don't you start?
Absolutely. I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. Beautiful weather here, enjoying it right now. Actually went to high school in India, International High School, before I came back to UCI. Worked in public accounting for a few years, but decided I want more of an operational experience. So I actually transitioned to my family business called Health Plus Inc., a little bit of a non-traditional path, but got a general management type experience, learned a lot about marketing and operations before coming to Ross. What I like to do for fun, biggest thing for me is traveling. It's a true passion of mine since I've been a kid. I love to get on a plane whenever I can. Huge Laker fan as well. So basketball is a big part of my life.
Okay, great. Dale.
So I'm actually from right outside of Chicago, born and raised. Growing up, was really involved in a lot of sport activities and then as well as kind of different engineering related fields. My dad was an engineer as well. So that kind of got me into engineering, went to U of I, and then went to Caterpillar, where I was really in charge of product development and innovation. And that really got me thinking of always wanting to create my own product or own service and be an entrepreneur. And similar to Dhruv, my family had a business as well. So throughout high school, I was working at the family business and really got my entrepreneurial juices flowing. So I ended up coming to Ross really focused on entrepreneurship. And funny story that Dhruv didn't mention was we actually met during our interview process at Ross, and we both talked to each other and showed how we were interested in entrepreneurship. And we said, hey, why don't we start a company while we once we get to Ross? And here and behold, we're at Ross and started a company.
You sure did it. Right. Now, were you on? Were you doing the team experience at Ross together, or you were in different teams, or did you do that at all? It's not mandatory, or something probably wasn't when you applied.
So we both did do the team experience, but we actually met the night before. Our interview was on the Super Bowl Sunday, or sorry, our interview was on the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. So Dhruv had reached out to all the other prospective students and said, "Hey, I'm going to go to this location and watch the game. If anyone wants to join." And I was one of them that joined, and we ended up talking. I was rooting for the Pats. He was rooting for the Falcons. But that's how we met each other, and then we stayed in touch throughout the interview process. We both got into Ross and then just stayed in touch ever since then.
Sounds great. Now, let's talk a little bit about the MBA application process. Dale, why don't you start? What was the hardest part for you in the MBA application process?
I think the most difficult part was really honing in on that story within your essays and connecting all the dots and having that kind of vision of where you want to be afterwards. especially as an entrepreneur, my story was always like, I don't know what company I wanted to start. I don't know, you know, what industry I wanted to be in, but I just know at one point I want to, you know, run a business. And that was true to me, but that doesn't really cut it within the story, right? You need to have more of a vision and have more of an outlook. So I really sat down after applying round one to a few schools and really honed in on what industry I thought I would be talented in and what industry or type of services or products I think. And then when I start writing my story and my essays, I was a lot more focused on entrepreneurship, but actually having more depth to the story instead of just saying, I want to run my business one day. So really learning how to connect the dots on my previous experience to why it makes sense, why I need an MBA, and then why entrepreneurship is the right next step for me was the most difficult part. But once I did that self-reflection, it turned out to be a really rewarding experience.
Okay, great. And that is critical to a successful, not only to a successful application, I think it's critical to a successful MBA experience to know what you want to get out of it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's very expensive and time-consuming. Dhruv, what was the most difficult part of the MBA application process for you?
For me, it was similar but different. As I mentioned earlier, I worked in my family business. So having that sort of non-traditional experience, that was the biggest challenge. I think I made it more of a challenge than it needed to be because I was constantly thinking about how do I need to gain credibility? You know, does this make sense that I want to be an entrepreneur? I'm already in a family business environment. You know, if I mention in the long term, I may want to go back. Do I really need an MBA? So for me, again, it came down to sitting down, reflecting, okay, in my family business, you know, it's a small company, but it's a mature company. I haven't really had that structure, strategic thinking. Okay, I really want to learn how to, you know, strategically make decisions, how to take data inputs. That's why I want an MBA. Okay, entrepreneurship wise, I've been in a small business environment, has some innovation. I've never built something from the ground up. What are the resources I need? What are the tools? I want to learn how to do customer discovery. I want to learn how to do new product innovation. I want to learn mobile development. So kind of that reflection allowed me to figure out myself, maybe even why an MBA is beneficial. And at that point, it just came to telling that honestly, rather than worrying about what the admissions, you know, counselors or admissions folks want, what you think they want to hear.
That's the worst thing to do.
Exactly.
Right. Now you did have a background in public accounting, right? And I think your undergrad was in business, so.
I started with public.
You did have more of a traditional background before you got to your family business also.
Yep.
Which can be really, really helpful. Now, is Ross meeting your expectations and meeting your needs, really? Dhruv, why don't you start with that one?
Absolutely. I think Ross has exceeded my expectations in every which way. I wanted to leave California, but still maintain a strong network. And coming back here, interning in San Francisco, I've really felt that the strength of that network and get the help and the resources I need and want. And then honestly, with starting our business, the amount of support we've gotten from this Dale Lurie Institute, we have a ton of entrepreneurs in residence there. We've gone through a ton of grant programs and just people are willing to go above and beyond, not just there, but also in our classmates, whether it comes to customer discovery, whether it comes to referring us to other students at other schools, just the support to be able to get this off the ground has been phenomenal. And also, like I mentioned, you know, strategy was an important part of my decision. That's a skill set I wanted to build. And, you know, the strategy classes and professors have been outstanding so far.
Great. And Dale, what about you? Is Ross meeting your need, your expectations?
Yeah, and I essentially echo everything that Dhruv said. And, you know, coming into business school, I had talked to several students during my interview process, and the majority of the students I talked to were going into traditional career paths, whether it was consulting, banking, CPG, et cetera. And I knew that those resources would be available for those career paths. And I just kind of had almost maybe a low bar expectation of what resources would be available for student entrepreneurs. But after getting the Ross and the Zell Lurie Institute, I cannot like express how resourceful and helpful the Zell Lurie Institute is. Through
really?
All the programs that Dhruv had mentioned that we're part of, they have entrepreneurs in residence that are there for you guys 24/7. They help us, you know, kind of just think some of those strategic decisions with our business. And they're really kind of our springboard that we needed to get up and going. And then beyond Ross itself, Ann Arbor just has such a strong entrepreneurial community because of the university being here, and not just Ross, but all of the other great graduate programs that they have. There's a lot of innovation going on, which brings a lot of investment dollars and a lot of incubators and just a lot of people within the community that are really looking to help entrepreneurs, whether you're a student or not. So it's just been such an amazing place to come and like really dive deep into the community and really want to start a company. So exceeded my expectations by a lot.
Okay. How did you come to choose Ross? Can I ask you that, Dale?
Yeah, of course. So I was actually deciding between a few schools. One was Duke, and then the other was UCLA. And I know a lot of people always bring in the weather aspect, but honestly,
especially Californians.
LA was, you know, nice weather, and then down in North Carolina, it's beautiful weather as well. But for me, the weather here is no issue. It's actually a lot of fun to have different seasons, and it kind of brings a change of pace to the, you know, the academic school year. But more importantly, I kind of filtered out the schools by which had the strongest entrepreneurial programs. And Michigan above and, you know, the rest just exceeded all the rankings for, you know, entrepreneurship. And then once I started actually talking to students and talking to faculty and learning about some of the programs, that was one of the biggest drivers, was just the strength of their entrepreneurship program. And then to be quite frank, I'm a huge sports buff, same with Drew. And to have the sports team, like our basketball team that made it to the national championship last year, and then our football team, which unfortunately just missed the playoffs, but we were right there the whole year, and it's extremely exciting to watch. It's a really cool environment to be in, and I always said I wanted to be at a school that kind of has this college bubble, and Ann Arbor is exactly that. It's not a huge city, so you're not going to be going out downtown and kind of separating in, like amongst your classmates. Everyone's going to the same few bars. Everyone's kind of has this collaborative community here, and you really get that college experience again, and that was something I was looking for.
Great. And Drew, how did you choose Ross?
So a lot of things were similar to what Dale said, but I had essentially three main criteria. The first one is I didn't want to be in a large city. I'd been in LA a large part of my life. Knew I wanted to come back, but wanted a different experience. So was looking more for a small college town type of experience. I wanted the second criteria was, global network, especially strong in California. And I found that Michigan Ross, even though it's all the way in Ann Arbor, the network everywhere is huge. And in California, SF and LA specifically, is extremely strong and extremely supportive. And the third one was, entrepreneurial excellence and support. And as we've already talked about, ZLI kind of checked that box for me. But just to add, when I went to Ann Arbor for my interview, it just felt right. You know, I felt at home. Going out, eating around Ann Arbor, exploring, walking around the nature. It just that community felt right for me at the time, and it just made the decision even easier.
What would you like to see improved at Ross?
So I'll take a stab at this. At University of Michigan, it is incredible how many top graduate programs they have. They have one of the best law schools. They have one of the best medical schools. They have, across the board, one of the best engineering schools. And there's so much great innovation going on across all these different universities or colleges within Michigan. I would really like to see, and not to say that it's not already done, but somehow more collaboration across schools would be amazing, especially as an entrepreneur. For instance, earlier this year, we were looking for someone to help us develop some tech. And we went to the North Campus, that's where the engineers are, and we met a few people. But if there was some sort of programming or some cross collaboration amongst the law school and the business school and the engineering school and medical school, it would bring our business experience to lengths above and beyond of what it is today. And there is some programming that's offered, which is great, but I'd like to see them even push that even further and really access all of that talent that's at the University of Michigan as a whole.
Sure. Drew, what do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, for me, this may seem a little trivial. Everything has been amazing for me at Ross. However, the space sometimes seems too small. It gets challenging to find study rooms. And I think an improvement area could be somehow separating the undergrad program with the grad program as far as the usage of different buildings or different space. And Ross is actually making a push to make some of their, rooms that are reserved for admissions or for interviews at those downtimes for those for admissions and interviews, they're making those available to more students. So they're trying to do what they can. But even with the addition of the new building, it's sometimes very challenging to get those coveted meeting rooms, as we call them at Ross. So if that problem can be solved, I think it'd be and make the experience even better.
Okay, great. Thank you. Very, very thoughtful responses. Now, what did you do on your MAP project, the Multidisciplinary Action Project? Drew, if you want to start with that one?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was fortunate enough to travel to Ayllantaytambo, Peru, which is right on the foothills of Machu Picchu. I was working for a healthcare nonprofit. It doesn't say this in my background, but growing up, I always wanted to be a doctor and still maintain a strong passion for healthcare. The organization is called Sacred Valley Health, and it provides training for community health workers in the Andean Mountains who don't really have access to the best healthcare. So we got to go in there and essentially create a sustainable business model for them. Currently, the organization was relying solely on grants, and they weren't really accounting properly for their programs. So they had some tour groups coming in, so we wanted to kind of help them commercialize their tour group aspect and also take advantage of the tourism that's going in out in Ollantaytambo. My team was amazing. We got to, you know, do a lot of sightseeing. We got to go to Machu Picchu. But the experience itself was so rewarding. Getting a lot out of it. Even during my internship, I used a lot of those learnings, a lot of the structure from my MAP project and brought it in to what seemed like an ambiguous and vague role.
Great. And Dale?
Yeah, so similar to Drew, I was in South America as well. I got the opportunity to go to Brazil. Sao Paulo at first and then Rio. And I was actually working for a startup company in Brazil. And the mission and vision of that startup company was to bring access to smart capital within the startup community in developing countries. So the entrepreneur was really focused on developing a tech platform that would connect entrepreneurs within developing countries to investors, angels, and different incubators around the world through digital connections, and then allow them to not only access the capital, but kind of that mentorship for the entrepreneurs itself. So it was an incredible opportunity. I got to go do a kind of customer discovery with the top venture capitalists in Brazil, the top angel groups, different startups, different incubators, and then a few corporate sponsored incubators, if you will. And it was just, you know, again, reiterating why I wanted to be an entrepreneur. You know, it's very similar across the world. Everyone kind of has that same, you know, grind it out mentality, whether you're here in Ann Arbor or, you know, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and kind of getting to meet those entrepreneurs kind of re-energized me to work on my own venture.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, Drew, if you had family business in your background, right? You grew up with, yep, with, you know, your parents, I guess, running a family business or a close relative running a family business. But Dale, you worked in Caterpillar for 5 years. I mean, that's an enormous corporation. How did you know you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so similar to Drew, my grandpa had a family business as well, a small manufacturing in Chicago, but I didn't really work there in the capacity that Drew had worked at his family business. But I think for me, it was going through and working kind of in a corporate setting. I realized a lot of that, you know, bureaucracy and red tape just wasn't cut out for me. And I kind of wanted to have more autonomy in my lifestyle. And I just know that, like, the kind of traditional 9-to-5, you know, white collar business school job just wasn't kind of for me in the right fit. And I knew that I wanted to kind of be an entrepreneur. So I was always been looking, even when I was working for Caterpillar, I was trying to do some side hustles, but just the time constraints of working a full-time job and then trying to start your own company just didn't cut it out. And I knew that business school for me was kind of like a 2-year fail-safe opportunity to try to start a company. And if it didn't work out, I would fall back on a MBA degree from one of the best programs in the world. And I'm sure I could go out and find a job that would be better paying than what I was making before and still, you know, help provide support. So I was really excited to kind of dive in here at Ross.
That's great. Let's turn to B-School travel, okay? Can you just tell me a little bit about it? How did it start? And Dale, do you want to start with that one?
Like Drew had mentioned, one of his biggest passions is travel, and same for me. And we came into Ross actually with our own business ideas that we were trying to get off the ground and launch. And through customer discovery and some other programming that we went through Michigan, we discovered that our ideas that we were working on at the time were feasible, but they would require a lot of upfront capital and probably a lot of venture fundraising. And that's just something that we didn't have the time to do while we were students. And we saw through our MTrack experience, which is kind of Ross's pre-MBA travel experience that almost 90% of the class does, we saw that there was an opportunity in the travel space to kind of improve the overall experience, both from the booking time to actual your on-the-ground experience. So we started doing digging into the industry a little bit. We saw that it was a very fragmented industry. There's kind of not one any player that really dominates, you know, group travel, especially amongst the graduate school programs. The per unit price was high, so you could really scale quickly and grow your revenue. And then there was a lot of consolidation actually going on in the industry right now where, different companies are being bought and consolidated into bigger conglomerates. So it just seemed like a good industry to be in. And then when we dug deeper, we saw that in 2017, actually, travel was one of the most invested industries in the venture capital space. So kind of all arrows were pointing to, really diving into a travel company. And we just knew that we could get in there and execute better than other people as far as the experience went, given that we had the MBA feel and touch of being students ourselves. So we started off in a manual process and just kind of acting as a almost concierge for student travel to help them develop the itineraries. And then as we start to get some traction and more success, now we're starting to build up some tech to, improve that overall process. And it's been a fun journey to date so far. And it's been a really fulfilling journey to really learn all of those initial steps of launching a company.
Okay. Drew, what do you want to add?
Only thing I want to add is a little memory, which is when, the seed was planted. It was summer of 2017. Ross has an amazing impact challenge during the orientation. And Dale, I, and some of our other section mates were hanging out at his apartment. MTrack was coming up and we were very excited about the experience. But I had noticed that, the hotels just didn't seem up to par for what we were paying. Dale was actually planning his own MTrack to shadow a partner trek. His trip was half the cost. And, at that point we had our own businesses, but we bickered about it. We're like, yeah, there's definitely a need here. And then we went on our ways and that was kind of the seed planting. And then later on in the future, we developed it further. And fortunately it's turned out well so far.
Great. Now both of you have referenced the Zell Lurie Institute and that Ross has been, the resources of Ross have been really instrumental in helping you get B-School travel off the ground. Can you give me some examples? Was it venture capital competitions that you participated in? Can you give me some examples of how Ross has been helpful to you?
Absolutely. I can start with that. Okay. So I think the most important has been the Dare to Dream program. It's a three-phase grant program. And there's two aspects to it. One is a financial aspect, which is great and helps get the business off the ground. But even more importantly, there's a series of workshops and educational sessions, as well as deliverables at each stage in order to get that grant. So the first stage, for example, is the venture shaping, where you're required to do customer discovery interviews with 25 people in your market and, kind of say, okay, do people actually want this business? Once you test that, you get $500. Then they want to do a financial feasibility. Let's look at the metrics. Let's look at the market size. Let's look at economics. Once you do that, it's $1,500. Once you actually launch your business, you have to do a full, 20-page business plan. And then that unlocks $5,000 that, again, goes towards building your business. And, collectively, that's, $7,000, which is not a small amount of money. We've also been accepted into the Zell Entrepreneurs Program, which is between Kellogg, Ross, and IDC in Israel. And it's a mentorship group. We get to travel to Israel to meet students from those other schools. We get to pitch to Sam Zell. And that also comes with a $10,000 grant, which is really helping us, especially because we're both planning on doing this full time.
Congratulations. Dale, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I'll add just a few kind of tidbits here. From my own experience, I'm part of one of these student-run venture funds at Ross, which is kind of unique to Michigan to begin with, but being able to sit on the other end of the table and kind of understand what a good startup looks like, what a bad startup looks like, and like kind of those faults and learn from other mistakes has been really helpful in my own entrepreneurial journey. And that's something that's provided through the Zell Lurie Institute. And then one other thing I would add is just kind of the courses that are available for entrepreneurs is also amazing. So the whole second year at Ross, I was able to take all electives, and several of them were entrepreneurial courses. And
for example?
So one that we just finished up actually was called New Venture Creation with Jim Price, who is a serial entrepreneur that's sits in at the school. And it's a great course to really, you know, the deliverable of the course is actually pitching to the class, and the class deciding whether your company is investable, and they actually like have kind of fake money where you can invest. But that really tees you up to, you know, our own business, because we were required to do pro forma financials. And that's something that we hadn't done prior to the course, but they taught us how to do those kind of early stage company financials. So that was a great course. Another really interesting course, which isn't necessarily tied directly to, you know, starting your own company, but very entrepreneurial focused, was entrepreneurship via acquisitions, which is all about the search fund model. And that's something that Michigan is improving and really trying to make well known amongst the students. And Drew and I both were in that class and thought it was incredible. And just learning about other vehicles of entrepreneurship rather than just trying to start your own idea from, you know, the ground up.
Right. That was right. One of my favorite classes.
You buy different companies and you amalgamate them. And right. Just, okay.
So going out there, getting financing from banks and buying a company, essentially.
Right. Right. Now, I'm sure one of the challenges you face is you are full-time MBA students and business owners. How do you manage that?
I guess I'll just jump in here and say
it's
very time consuming. Drew and I both stay up pretty late, which helps. We're able to
make
our work on the in the evenings. And to be quite honest, a lot of the suppliers that we work with for these different trips are international and across the globe. So time zone differences, it requires us to stay up pretty late anyways. So yeah, just putting in a lot of hours, you know, really leveraging the support at Ross. There's an incredible community here, and whether it's our classmates or the faculty, we could really, you know, leverage them and ask them for support and help. So that's kind of the biggest piece. And then I know I had mentioned this to you earlier, but I'm actually kind of accelerated my coursework here at Ross. So I'll actually only need 2.25 credits left for the remainder of the school year. So for all intents and purposes, I'm pretty much graduated early. So I'm going to have a lot of free time now to really work on the business throughout the next 3 or 4 months before graduation, which is pivotal because we have a lot of our trips coming up in spring and summer break, which is we're going to require a lot of upfront work in the January, February timeframe. So
you're not going to be sitting on the beach.
I unfortunately will not be sitting on the beach, as much as that sounds nice.
Okay. Drew, do you want to add anything in terms of just managing demands of launching a business and being a full-time MBA student?
Absolutely. I'd say at the end of the day, it comes down to, do you really want this? And is this your priority? And you know, there's times where, you know, yeah, you're going to have to miss a football tailgate or go late to it. There's times your friends are going out on a Thursday night and you have to sit home and work. And, you know, for us, it's an easy decision. It's not much of a sacrifice because this is a main priority. It was harder last year when we were actually, you know, exploring traditional recruiting as well. But coming in after this summer, we knew we're doing this full time, and not having to worry about recruiting really did open us up. But essentially, it's prioritizing. Sometimes, you know, it's sleep that gets sacrificed. Sometimes it's some coursework. Sometimes it's social time. So this is the number one priority right now. And we kind of never let each other lose sight of that and hold each other accountable, which has worked out well.
Dale just mentioned a bunch of, you wanted to add something? Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, Drew actually just pointed out something. It's incredible finding a partner as well. For, you know, startups. I know a lot of people have strong opinions one way or another, whether you should be a solo entrepreneur or having a partner, but really having that other person to hold you accountable, or quite frankly, when I get busy, he could take the workload. And when he gets busy, I could take the workload. And just having that other person to rely on and kind of be your crutch has been extremely helpful in launching a business.
Okay, great. I think partnerships are wonderful when they work. It's kind of like marriages. But I want to go back to, you know, Dale, you were talking a minute ago about all the trips you have planned, right? So maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So actually, in about a week and a half here, we have a trip planned for Wharton. It's their India trek. And there's 68 students going across the whole country of India. And we're providing some really unique experiences for them that you can't really get, you know, from other you know, online booking platforms. And we're really leveraging our network. Like Dhruv had mentioned, he's from India. So we were able to leverage our personal network to offer some of those unique experiences. We're also doing several trips, obviously, for Ross. So we'll be doing a Japan trek. We're going to be doing a China trek, India trek, Korea trek. And then we're also going to be providing that pre-MBA M-Trek experience that I had alluded to. And then we're working with New York University, Stern, on doing a trek to Vietnam. And that's going to be 35 students where they're going to be in Ha Long Bay on a boat cruise one day. And then the next day they're going to be traveling to all different cities within Vietnam. So that's a really exciting one for us. And then we're working with students from other universities right now, currently in the planning phase with MIT. We're actually planning an M7 conference for students amongst the M7 schools to kind of have a weekend getaway. So there's a lot of different trips in our pipeline right now that we're really excited about. And we're working, finally starting to work with several different universities beyond Ross and really getting that exposure to students, you know, globally as well. I think, Dhruv, if you want to talk about the international traction we're starting to get with other universities.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually working with HEC Paris to do some of their corporate treks where they want to, you know, rather than do something on a leisure basis, they want to go to Singapore and network with companies. So we're setting up some tours, but mostly, you know, networking sessions, company visits, etc. We're also working with, you know, some universities in India, some other ones in China to kind of replicate that model. So a lot going on abroad as well, and we're getting some traction there.
So are you selling mostly to schools group tours, or are you offering individuals group tours that they can join, or is it both?
So primarily we're doing group travel for schools, and we specifically usually will work with the student club leaders. So quite often it will be, you know, the Indian Business Association at a certain university is planning this trek. They'll contact us and we'll help them develop that trek. And then it's amongst them students that will travel. However, we are offering this summer what we're calling our cross MBA treks. And that's an opportunity that's open for incoming students that maybe otherwise would have done backpacking. You know, a lot of students will take 3 months off before, you know, entering their MBA program, but they don't have their friends that they could travel with because they don't have the luxury of going to an MBA program. So instead of backpacking, we were kind of opening up a few treks where they could just join and meet other MBA students, whether it's their university or not, and kind of grow their network across several MBA schools and then also travel, which they were likely going to do anyways. And that's more on a leisure focus. And then we're also doing corporate treks. And our corporate treks are kind of going out to the West Coast and visiting several companies on the West Coast and adding, you know, a flavor of leisure in here and there, or going out to New York and visiting some of the banks and consulting firms. And that's going to be open to incoming or prospective students as well. So those are kind of sign up as you go, and you don't have to really have a group to sign up for those corporate treks either.
And those are what's listed on your website, right? And I noticed that one of them, I think, is already sold out for the summer. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Baltic trip is a small, due to the logistics of the group within the Baltics, the group has to be somewhat smaller, only at 10. So that one's actually already filled. But the rest are open, and we're going to be posting actually more coming up here soon at the probably right after the new year.
Okay, great. So what are your plans for the future? You've both indicated you want to do this full time. So kind of where do you see B-School travel going? And what if somebody who isn't in B-School wants to go on one of your trips, your treks?
So that's exactly the plan for the future. We identified this market within the B-Schools and we were most familiar with it. So our beachhead strategy was to target this market. But the higher education student travel market is a $64 billion market. And, you know, just the student travel market is $320 billion. So we essentially want to become a group travel platform for students. And we'll probably go into other grad schools like med school, law school, public health, etc. Actually, the leisure-based, what we call the cross MBA trips, this summer, we are thinking of opening them up and making them cross-disciplinary trips. I think it will be even more rewarding to have, you know, some law students, some med students, some business school students, engineers, all traveling together and kind of providing that cross-functional networking opportunities, especially in the world we live in today.
Yeah, that does sound really exciting. And there are opportunities in all those fields. You're 100% right. You know, I think a few weeks ago I had on the podcast a dean from Cornell Tech, which is, you know, the New York-based part of Cornell Johnson. And it was fascinating because the way they have their master's programs, there'd be a very narrow focus to the master's program, but all the students at Cornell Tech are part of what they call their studio. They all work together on projects. So yes, they'll have classes that are just information systems or just LLM or just this or just that, but on a project, they're going to work together.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, there's no reason to socialize just among business students or just among med students or law students or whatever. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I'll link to that show also from the show notes for this show, which will be at accepted.com/295. But no, that sounds fascinating. I don't see any reason why you have to limit it to B school.
Exactly. And we always like to say travel is an incubator for relationships. You know, you can meet people, you can have LinkedIn messages, but when you travel somewhere with someone, the bond that's created is just so much stronger.
Yeah, for true. For true. Absolutely true. And, you know, med students, they have, they can go on humanitarian missions to different places and also incorporate some travel or pre-meds. Obviously law students, they can go to Court of Justice, the Hague, they can go to Washington, D.C., all kinds of places. So I think you definitely have, and then there's always leisure. Everybody likes to have a good time.
One thing to add to kind of what Dhruva had mentioned, right now we're primarily focused on leisure and professional travel with these corporate treks, but we're actually just starting to get involved in educational travel as well and actually working with admission offices at schools to help them travel some of their global immersion programs, which is a whole new market for us to kind of start entering as well. So then that covers the leisure, educational, and professional travel.
You ever think of having like treks to different parts of the country or world for people interested in certain business schools, for example?
Yeah, we're actually funny that you
just had this conversation.
Okay.
With a kind of an MBA admissions coach in Singapore, and we're thinking about launching a trek to the United States for international students to visit some of the top programs within the U.S. And they could come, you know, travel the U.S. for a week or two, see a different universities, and then we'll also try to incorporate some sightseeing along the way so they could see, you know, the Grand Canyon or go to Yosemite National Park, vice versa, and kind of enjoy some leisure and get an opportunity to visit all these MBA programs.
Well, Yosemite is a personal favorite, so you sounds like you have lots of ideas and plans and different ways to take it. What would you have liked me to ask you? Do you want to start with that? And Dale still think.
What would you have liked me to ask you?
What would you like to? I'll tell you what. Before I get to that, I know you both have traveled extensively. What was, before, you can still think about I'll come back to that question. What was the most memorable travel experience that you've had personally?
So for me, I think my most memorable travel experience, it was to the Galapagos Islands. It was during my sophomore year of college. I went with some family. We landed in Quito, Ecuador, did some sightseeing, and then just went on a cruise and got to stop by the different islands. And just being more of a science nerd when I was growing up, I was just like a kid in a candy store. It was mesmerizing, completely untouched, mostly the marine life, the iguanas. It was just, I want to go back. It was amazing.
Okay, great. Dale?
For me, I actually went to a friend's wedding in the south central part of India. And, you know, I'm pretty well traveled, but for me, that was the most cultural different experience I've ever had. The wedding was 5 days long, and I got to actually participate in a lot of the events and activities and dance on stage and just like being really ingrained and kind of like emerged into that kind of culture during the wedding was absolutely incredible. The food was amazing, and just kind of the whole overall experience was just different than any other part of the world I had been. So that was really exciting for me.
If I were to answer that question, I'm not as well traveled as you guys, but probably the most amazing travel experience I had was as a college student. I did a year abroad in Israel. At the time, the Sinai was part of Israel, and I went snorkeling. I don't scuba dive. I went snorkeling off Ras Muhammad, which is the tip of the Sinai Peninsula. And apparently after the Great Barrier Reef, it has the best snorkeling in the world. and or scuba diving. And the colors were just unbelievable. I mean, I still remember it, but it was amazing. All right. So that was, I'll add to that part. Now back to my question before, what would you have liked me to ask you? Dhruv, you're on the hot seat.
I'd say, what was my favorite or most impactful class at Ross where I thought really was, you know, great learning experience.
Go for it.
So I'm going to go with entrepreneurial turnaround management. It's taught by Bill Hall and Jeff Sinclair, only for MBA twos, has an 80-person wait list. And essentially, you take a case learning about a distressed company, and you have to come up with a plan to turn it around. And while I was going through the class, I was always thinking, like, we're not really going in depth. I don't know if I'm learning as much as I thought. And then when it came to the final and you're thrown into it and all these elements came together, it was looking at the finance, looking at the accounting, looking at marketing, it just clicked. And looking through those 7 weeks, it just has changed my way of thinking when looking at a company and really given me that true general management mindset, which I think was crucial after going to through the core, being able to connect and integrate everything together.
That's fantastic. Dale.
Yeah, so Dhruv covered a bit of the academic piece, so I'll cover some of the business side of things.
Okay.
A lot of your listeners are honestly, you know, potential clients of ours, so I would love you to ask us, how can they learn more about B-School Travel? How can they sign up for a trip? How can they get in hold of us and potentially plan their own trip?
Consider it asked.
Exactly. I'll go ahead and answer that. So, yeah, if you go to www.bschooltravel, very intuitive. If you're interested in some of our corporate treks, there will be a link at the top for corporate treks. If you're interested in some of those cross MBA leisure treks and you're going to be doing some solo backpacking, then there's a link for that. And also, if you already have a group in mind, you want to travel with some of your incoming classmates, or perhaps you're already an MBA student listening to this, we do custom travel for individual groups. There's a link for that, and you could submit an email.
What about alumni groups? Or is that another area for the future?
So we're trying to stay somewhat focused here, but like you get a group together, we'll be happy to help out. So visit us there. We're actually offering a scholarship for one of our trips. So students are more than welcome to go in and apply for a scholarship and potentially travel with us this summer. We're really always looking for new students to meet and connect with, whether they're traveling now or maybe a year from now when they're actually students. We always like to build out our network. So please feel free to shoot us an email, even if it's an admissions question into Ross. We're students first, business people second. We're always happy to help and put our student cap on. So feel free to reach out to us at info@bschooltravel and ask us any questions, business or school related.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you both very much. I think we're just about finished. And I want to, again, thank you for joining me and sharing your MBA journey, the B-School travel journey, and your entrepreneurial journey with the podcast listeners today. You already told us where we can find you, and we will link to B-School travel from exip.com/295. So thanks again. And listener, I want to thank you too for joining Dale Juros and Dhruv Dhawan and me for Admission Straight Talk's 295th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week. Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.